Buckin' Dickerson, Steve Buckley, and Greg Dickerson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Final hour of Buck and Dickerson, Sports Radio WEEI. Just a few minutes ago on ESPN, Kareem Hunt spoke for the first time, talked to Lisa Salters. Here's the interview. We'll come back and we'll discuss it. It's Kareem Hunt and Lisa Salters, thanks to ESPN.
Kareem, you requested this interview. You requested this opportunity to talk one-on-one with us. Why?
Honestly, I just want to let the world know, you know, how sorry I am for my actions. And, you know, it's been a tough time for me, and I'm extremely embarrassed because of that video.
Kareem, we've all seen the videos. You've seen the videos. I think it's fair to say that many would say that those images, they speak for themselves. What is there for you to say?
I'm definitely not that type of person, and my mother raised me right. I was raised by my mom and my grandma, and it was just us, and they've always taught me well, and I know right from wrong, and I'm always a person who wanna see and make everybody happy.
So what happened? Take me back to that night. I understand this occurred in the hallway of your residence in Cleveland back in February of this year. What happened?
Honestly, it was just a long night, and to be exact, it don't really matter what happened. I was in the wrong. I could have, you know, took responsibility and, you know, made the right decision to, you know, find a way to de-escalate the whole situation.
Well, I think it does matter, though. We need to hear from you how you got to that point. What happened?
It was definitely some things that were said and did that I did not like, and that's not an excuse. It's not. I'm that person in that video did not deserve that. I didn't mean to hurt anybody or anything like that. It's really tough. It's tough because, like, I feel like I let a lot of people down, and I just really want to, you know, apologize to everybody, the Chiefs organization, my family, and close friends.
Who is this person? How did she end up being in the hallway of your residence?
Honestly, I'd never met the girl before besides that one time. I met her one time, and it was just kind of like my first 2 days living at this new place at the Nine in Cleveland, and kind of just had some friends over.
What were you arguing about in the hallway?
It was just a disagreement, and I honestly wanted her just to leave, but it's no excuse for me to act that way or to even, you know, put myself in that position.
When I watched the videos, the lasting impression for me was the kick. You kicking a woman while she was on the ground. You kicking a woman, period. How do you explain that?
You can't really explain it. The video shows it. I was in the wrong, and I'm not that type of person. I'm really disappointed and embarrassed for myself and for my family, and I really am taking action to learn from this and do everything possible to, you know, become a better man.
The Chiefs say that you were not truthful with them when you told them back in February about what happened. Were you?
The Chiefs are right, and I didn't tell them everything, and, you know, I don't, you know, blame them for anything. My actions caused this, and I really wish I could, you know, just apologize to them and let them know it's no hard feelings between me and the Chiefs. And, you know, I love the program, love the people there, and I just want to, you know, take this time and better myself and, you know, not let anything like this ever happen again.
What didn't you tell the Chiefs back then?
I just didn't tell them the video, the video part that came out. I didn't say anything really about too much of that. And when I saw the video, it was like my first time seeing it. I realized what I did once I saw the video, and it was really tough to watch, and I know I'm not that type of person.
When was the first time you found out that the videos existed?
After they came out. When everybody else saw the video, that's when I saw the video. It's when the Chief saw the video. And to see that is really, is tough because I wish I would have handled it differently.
What did you think of yourself when you saw those videos?
I just thought of myself as being, you know, just not me. That's not me. I was raised better than that, like I said, and I'm not the type of person to, you know, ever even think about putting my hands on anyone, a woman, a girl, it doesn't matter.
Has the NFL ever questioned you about that incident?
No, they have not.
Did they ever ask you to talk about that incident?
No, they have not.
Okay.
Well, there you go. That was on ESPN just about 20 minutes ago. And first of all, Lisa Salters, outstanding.
Yes.
Outstanding job of interviewing by Lisa Salters, and I would expect no less because she is a fantastic broadcaster. But she asked everything that needed to be asked and followed up, and it followed up everything that needed to be followed
up. She brought emotional detachment to it in that, A, she didn't come across as a sports person trying to in any way mitigate what happened. On the same token, she didn't come across as I'm a woman, therefore I must have a screaming match.
What were
you thinking when you saw the case like that?
Right.
So and Kareem Hunt, she brought emotional detachment to it, which I appreciate and applaud.
And Kareem Hunt wanted the interview to be done. I don't think he necessarily helped himself all that much.
The problem is
when he says it doesn't. She asked the question about what happened. It doesn't matter what happened. And I love the follow up question, which was basically, well, yeah, it does matter. What happened leading up to it? And nowhere does Kareem Hunt. I think Kareem Hunt, if he really wants to defend himself, I think if the woman spat at him, if she spitted him in the face, and she called him the N-word a number of times, if I'm Kareem Hunt, I say, this is what happened. She did this and this. I lost my temper. I reacted in a way that I shouldn't have reacted. I shouldn't have done that. But because she spat at me and called me the N-word, I lost it.
I'm going to be guessing that he was coached and is part of the coaching process. All guesswork here.
Yep.
Is that he was instructed and educated not to do victim shaming.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tell the entire story, you are saying, well, this is what she did. So I get that part of it. But the whole idea here was he contrite? Yes. I buy the contrition.
Yeah.
And a couple of things. Number one, when he says, that's not me in that video, unfortunately,
it is him
in that video. And there's really no getting around that.
Right.
Symbolism, whatever you want to call it, symbolically, that's not me. Yeah, that's fine. It is you in the video. And I think people wanted to hear the story. They need to hear it. And I think he could have addressed it in the fashion that you did. And he could have said,
you don't have to victim shame at all. You can just say, hey, this is what happened.
She said some things, and she did this, and she did that. But you know what? That didn't mean I had the right to, you know.
Correct.
So then he can get his message out to a degree that we then, in the court of public opinion, can address it.
But is that victim shaming? If he were to come out and said, you know, she spit at me for no reason. She called me the N-word a number of times for no reason, and I lost my temper. Is that victim shaming? I don't think it's victim shaming at all. I think that's him explaining what happened in the situation,
What you can do, Greg, is you can speak in the abstract. You can say, let's say somebody calls you this name.
Yep.
Does that give you the right to hit that person? No.
No.
Let's say that someone does this to you. Does that give you the right to kick that person on the ground? No. So at the end of the day, I am 100% wrong because whatever happened, I didn't handle it well. Then she says, well, tell us what happened. And then he said, okay, because you're asking me.
This is what happened. You've asked me. Exactly. And I'm disappointed in the way I handled things. I should have walked away.
That's how you handle that.
Right. But I would have liked him to be more open, forthright, and tell us exactly what happened. That's why I say I don't think he necessarily helped himself out all that much. I still think that he's still going to be facing a long suspension for next season, whether he's on a team's roster or whether he's not on a team's roster next year. It'll be interesting. What I'm looking forward to, I want to hear from the commissioner. I want to know from the commissioner why this video was found and broadcast by TMZ. I want to know from the commissioner why Kareem Hunt was never interviewed.
Well, let me go back to the ESPN story headlined, "During investigation of incident, NFL didn't talk to Kareem Hunt."
The one from today. The one from today.
Which I say are basically two different stories.
Yep.
And if you go to the bottom of it, this is what I would call the sidebar. And it goes back to the NFL's inability to acquire it. The video brings back memories. And we go to the second part of the story here. A former FBI director, Robert Mueller's investigation into the league's investigation of Ray Rice punching of his then fiance after TMZ released video of that assault. While Mueller exonerated the NFL at some levels, he wrote in his report that the league should have done more, and I quote, "We concluded there was substantial information about the incident, even without the in-elevator video, indicating the need for a more thorough investigation," Mueller wrote. "The NFL should have done more with the information it had and should have taken additional steps to obtain all available information about the February 15th incident." And as you pointed out, this was the little dig by ESPN at the end of the story. 4 years later, other than additional personnel to oversee such assaults, it does not appear the NFL has made many changes to address Mueller's findings.
Robert Kraft, this is on you and the rest of your owners. This is on you and everybody else who owns a football team and who are the bosses of one Roger Goodell. Where is your commissioner? Where was your commissioner? Why didn't your league stand up and interview this guy? Nothing has changed. I'd say it to Robert Kraft and every other owner in the NFL. Why haven't things changed? You say things are going to change, but not one damn thing has changed at all, and you should all be ashamed of yourselves as owners in the National Football League. Let's go to Fred, who's in New Hampshire. Fred, you're up next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yes, I want to make a couple points here. First of all, with the mixing thing that you were talking about earlier, you're again calling it domestic violence.
If I called it domestic violence, I'm not sure I did, but if I did, it was violence against a woman.
That's exactly.
Fine. He hit a woman. What the hell difference does it make? He hit a woman. It's a man hitting a woman. There you go.
Domestic violence.
Okay, fine. It's words. Assault. He hit a woman.
I mean, as a reporter, you should.
No, he hit a woman.
You've made your point. Move on.
He hit a woman, whether it's domestic violence or not. He hit a woman. That's the story.
Second of all, I'm moving on. Second of all, I'm a medical courier. And part of my training, I'm picking up lab work today. I deal with bodily fluids. I've been heavily trained on dealing with bodily fluids and had to take shots on the prevention of if something happened where I got bodily fluids on me, in me, or something with dealing with them. Her spitting in his face is very serious. I don't know if you realize that. If she had a disease, if she had hepatitis, per se, I've taken preventative shots against hepatitis because of dealing every day with, well, not every day, but some days with bodily fluids.
Okay, so Fred, we're going to grant
the point, Fred, that spitting is serious, yes, is not a good look for anybody. The next level from being spat upon is not to strike and hit and kick and so forth. It's a step away. I'm sorry. That's the way it is.
You have a right to protect yourself.
You have a right to get the hell away from the spit. I understand.
Do you have the right to kick a woman while she's on the ground? Hello?
If she had hepatitis or something, that could be giving.
Yeah, but you don't know whether she had hepatitis. But okay, she's on the ground, Fred.
No.
She's on the ground. Should he kick her while she's on the ground? Yes or no?
I'm not saying he was right, but he has a right to protect himself.
Yes, Fred. Let's speak with specificity. Answer his question. Did he have a right? Did he have a right to kick the woman on the ground?
As he just says, that was his residence. as he just said himself.
You won't answer the question. Fred, should he have kicked her while she was on the ground?
At his residence, he has a right to protect him.
Oh, okay. Goodbye, Fred. Fred. See you, Fred. You have a great day, and I'm glad I don't know you. 617-779-7937. If you can't answer the friggin' question and say that a man should not kick a woman while she's down, unless she's holding a friggin' handgun pointed at you, other than that, sorry, Fred. No, you don't do that. And if you want to defend Kareem Hunt because you think the woman may have had hepatitis and he's defending himself against the woman who's lying on the ground and he kicks her, go away. Come back. We'll do more. Sports Radio WEI.
It's a medical courier, Greg.
It's Buck and, oh, God bless him. He's doing God's work.
We're right back to Buck and Dickerson on Sports Radio WEI.
So what happened? Take me back to that night. I understand this occurred in the hallway of your residence in Cleveland back in February this year. What happened?
Honestly, it was just a long night. And to be exact, it don't really matter what happened. I was in the wrong. I could have, you know, took responsibility and, you know, made the right decision to, you know, find a way to de-escalate the whole situation.
Well, I think it does matter, though. We need to hear from you how you got to that point. What happened?
It was definitely some things that were said and did that I did not like, and that's not an excuse. It's not. I'm that person in that video did not deserve that. I didn't mean to hurt anybody or anything like that. It's really tough. It's tough because, like, I feel like I let a lot of people down, and I just really want to, you know, apologize to everybody, the Chiefs organization, my family, and close friends.
Well, Kareem Hunt looks bad, but you look worse, Kareem, by not saying what happened. I mean, you're going to explain yourself without victim shaming, without, you know, putting blame on the woman, but explain what led up to it. And as Lisa Salter said, yeah, it does matter what happened. It matters what happened leading up to that situation. He also didn't answer why she was there.
Lisa came there to do business.
Yes, and she did, as I said before, she did exactly as I would expect, because Lisa Salter's an outstanding interviewer.
Mm-hmm.
She did a terrific job. Kareem Hunt, I don't think he covered himself in a lot of glory. As you said, he looked contrite. Yes, he was contrite, but I thought
it's
he could have done a better job.
It's two sides to a coin. He looked, sounded, acted contrite, and that was the talking point he addressed. That, again, and it's not a bad thing that people sat down with him in his camp and gave him the ABCs on how to conduct this interview. That's not a bad thing. You would want that. If you're a highly paid professional athlete, you've got support services, you should avail yourself of those support services. So one of the messages I'm guessing they delivered to him was, you need to be contrite. You need to come across as contrite. Now, whether they said to him, don't dodge questions because you'll come across as being cagey and suspicious. Mm-hmm. And whether they said that to him or he couldn't jump in there and find a way to address exactly what happened without victim shaming. And it's a very fine line.
She opened the door, though. And you said this before. She opened the door for him.
Yes.
To explain what happened.
Yes.
Well, you asked. So
and all he had to say was, I'm only answering this because you posed the question.
Right.
And before I continue, please understand that I continue to believe that I'm ashamed of myself and I did wrong here. But because you asked the question and because I believe that being frank and open is what's required here, this is what happened.
And by the way, I guarantee there would be a good segment of the population who maybe they wouldn't side with Kareem Hunt, but they would have a little more understanding.
Yeah.
If he said, she repeatedly called me the N-word, she was there, I told her to leave, she wouldn't leave, she called me the N-word, she spat at me, and I lost my mind. I did exactly what I know I'm not supposed to do, what I was taught not to do, and I apologize for it, and she didn't deserve it. I think a lot of people would say, well, wait a minute. Well, what's this woman? Why is she spitting at him? Why is she calling him the N-word?
And by the way, the guy that called, that's the specimen carrier, whatever, Listen, the thing about spitting, beyond the fact that it may carry disease and so forth, it's more than that.
So if I spit at you, according to him, you have all the right in the world to beat the crap out of me if I just spit at you.
And the court would have all the right in the world to put me in jail.
Right, exactly.
But there is symbolism attached to it. And you go back to the Robbie Alomar thing back in the John Hirschbeck, and he spit in the face of John Hirschbeck. Now, that absolutely cost Alomar 1 year being in the Hall of Fame. Right. First year he was eligible. Robbie Alomar, to me, is one of the four or five best all-around players I have ever seen all across the board. Robbie Alomar should have been a slam-dunk first ballot Hall of Famer, and I did vote for him in the first ballot, but there were people, Marty Noble, formerly of Newsday and MLB.com, pointedly did not vote for him in the first ballot because of the spitting incident. So there is symbolism that's very deep and carved into our society on the whole act of spitting. So I do understand that. But you then have to address, at what point do you get to attack somebody and hit somebody? And the answer is you don't.
Especially when it's a woman on the ground. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to some of your phone calls. Why don't we say let's go to the armpit of Massachusetts. You know where that is, Buck? The armpit of Massachusetts?
I do not.
That would be Cambridge. And say hi
to
Alice.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Cambridge refers to the arm. You mean because women don't shave their underarms?
Oh, no. Is that what you meant? Hey, you know what, Allison? Exactly. That's exactly
actually,
what I meant.
I don't shave my underarms. And actually, once when I was performing with my husband's in my band, a woman yelled in the back, "Yay, pants!" Great! at the Middle East. But
how are you, Allison?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Hi, guys. I wanted to say that. That, you know, we think of a video, once you see it, that you know, people have to react, whatever. But I haven't thought of before is that somebody, if he really isn't a violent person, and I do believe that it could be, to see yourself like that must be very upsetting. I mean, can you imagine seeing yourself losing your temper? I mean, I'm sure all of us, even people who are pretty calm, every so often lose their temper. And to see it, and this and then losing his job for a while, this might really keep other violent interactions from happening. I mean, this might be not just a good thing for him, but for anyone that he may hurt.
I'd like to know more about the other incident that is supposedly out there, and we talked about it earlier this morning, that there was an incident involving not a woman but a man. The NFL, we read the story earlier on today, NFL is investigating a second incident in which Kareem Hunt punched a man, so I'm wondering whether this is a regular behavior.
That's not me. I was raised better than that. That's not me.
The fact is, though, that unfortunately, a lot of these incidents happen when someone is drunk or drugged, and so that in some ways that you have to be able to train yourself not to escalate. I love that he used the word that he could have de-escalated the situation. That to me seemed like, I really felt, and he said he was raised by a mother and a grandmother, so obviously issues about women, I mean, being not wanting to hit them would be in part of his conditioning, I would think, is being brought up.
Well, he's still got a lot. I mean, listen.
And he was with a culture. I mean, the fact is, being drunk, and it was only when he said it was a long night, we heard that the woman was at a bar and that there was drinking involved, and so you lose your sense of self. And also, the culture being with this guy, also what was interesting that he said he had just moved into that. Because he's living in an apartment in a hotel.
Allison, because we're running out of time, and because the call screener says that the video might help him, were you going to go down that road?
No. You mean meaning to exonerate him?
I think she. You just said it. The video can help him by watching it. By him watching, is that
right?
That's what you're saying.
But I just want to make sure you weren't taking it to another level. Okay.
It's therapeutic and psychology.
Right. I get that.
Knowing his issues. That's okay. Right.
Allison, thanks for the phone call.
Guys.
Take care. You got it. 617-779-7937. Let's sneak in one more. Let's go to Kevin. If I can actually pull him up, Kevin in Rhode Island. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, guys, listen, you're skirting the issue here. You've been doing it for a long time. I don't know why you're doing it. You guys are sitting in front of a fire. You're ice cold. You're right in front of the fire. You're ice cold. What's the issue here? What's the real issue? It's another incident of man and woman graphic violence in the NFL. What did the NFL do to Tom Brady and the Patriots? They set the dogs on them. On this issue, what do they do?
Hey, Kevin, I raised that very point.
Yeah, but talk about what has to happen. What has to happen for the public to think to themselves the NFL actually cares?
Right. And Kevin, you're making it seem like you're a whistleblower. We've been talking about this all
Kevin, we brought it up a number of times, Kevin. We brought it up a couple of times.
Kareem Hunt is just a flea on the dog that the NFL is.
Kevin, we talked about that.
Is Roger Goodell needs to step down or be fired. That has to happen to show that they care. That
right,
has
Kevin,
to happen. That's
you.
The big issue here. Roger Goodell.
Thanks for setting us straight, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. 617-779-7900. I believe I went on a rant about a half hour ago or so regarding that, and the NFL doesn't really care.
It was good
and
radio.
Roger Goodell and the owners and Robert Kraft should feel ashamed of themselves. I think I went on that rant earlier on. So we have
not to Kevin's liking.
But well, maybe Kevin needs to listen to the whole 3-hour show. You can't just pick and choose the Buckley Dickerson
show. Why do you skirt the
issue,
Greg? What's the problem?
Well,
who owns you?
Everybody. The Celtics. Well, no, not anymore. They used to. You know who owns me? My wife. That's it. I'm only owned by my
retired.
Wife. Absolutely not. Which is funny because like 5 years ago, I thought he should have. Now I don't believe so. 617-779-7937. Back with more of your phone calls, and we'll wrap things up and we'll hand things over to the NFL Sunday boys. Mutt. I almost said Merloni. Mutt. Fourier and Rich Keefe. That's all coming up at noontime down in Foxborough. It's Sports Radio WEEI.
Now back to Buck and Dickerson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Has the NFL ever questioned you about that incident?
No, they have not.
Lisa Salter's on ESPN about an hour ago with Kareem Hunt, and that backs up what was written by Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen. I almost want to laugh at it, Buck. How is it possible that the National Football League has never spoken to him about this incident?
That goes beyond the NFL's lack of subpoena power in terms of getting the tape.
I would believe so, yes. But how do they know that they're aware that there's a videotape. They know that there was an incident involving one of their players and a female. How do you not, at the very least, contact the player and talk to him? How is that possible?
Is it possible the NFL, and I'm just throwing darts here,
yeah.
Is it possible the National Football League is going to say, well, no, we didn't interview him, but our lawyers did? Or another one would be, no, we didn't interview him, but the Kansas City Chiefs interviewed him. And again, I'm playing fun with language
right here. Yeah, and that they can get, we as a league, we interviewed him because the Chiefs interviewed him. But even then, even if the Chiefs interview him, wouldn't you still want the league in general? Wouldn't you want the hierarchy of the league
do it?
Yeah, I would too, because it's more independent than the team doing it. And apparently the team knew stuff, and they just kind of turned a blind eye and said, okay, well, he told us what we wanted to hear. We know some stuff, but we turned a blind ear, and Kareem Hunt didn't really run the football well, and we have a chance to win a Super Bowl, so we're going to look past it. Let's grab Mike, who's in a truck. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Hear you great. Thank you.
Yep. So the thing that I was thinking is that, I don't know, I just feel like this is inherent in the system. I mean, this type of behavior, you don't just get to like the pros and all of a sudden decide you want to hit a woman when she gets in your face. I mean, this is something that you're either taught is okay or you're not dissuaded from as you're growing up.
Well, that's not what Mike, just to stop you for a second, that goes against what he said. I can completely see, and I can completely believe him, that he was raised by his mother and grandmother to not do something like that. And that he just completely lost it. I mean, it happens to people. People lose it all the time. People know better and then just lose it at the drop of a hat. It happens.
I respectfully, I disagree. I do think that it goes beyond his mother and his grandmother. I mean, he's had coaches and teachers and friends and other influences in his life. And at some point along the line, people were turning a blind eye to this way before he got in the NFL.
But that's not the same as teaching him to do it, which is where you're taking it.
No. I'm sorry. I misspoke. But I do think that that behavior, if it's not immediately put out like a fire, it grows.
Right. Because I just want to make sure we're not blaming his mother or grandmother.
Well, do you believe him that his mother and grandmother taught him how to treat and respect women, and that,
I guess all I would say is that my mom and my grandma taught me lots of things, but when I was a young man, I still did what I wanted, and I didn't necessarily always listen. I mean, his mom and grandma might have taught him to not do those things. Obviously, I feel like any woman would teach their son or grandson not to do those.
Oh, Mike, sorry about that, Mike. We appreciate the phone call, Mike. Thank you so much. We got to get out of here because we have got, as soon as I can, I have the worst time with this thing. I'm like Callahan. You ever hear Jerry in the morning? I don't understand it. You're pressing buttons here. It's all the liberals. The liberals are messing this whole thing up. Thank you, Steve Buckley. Can read
it's
more.
A pleasure.
It's a pleasure here. You can read more Steve Buckley in The Athletic. NFL Sunday is coming up next with Mutt, Keith, and Fourier. Enjoy the game. Don't forget the real post-game show afterwards. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Hanging out with Jerry Callahan and Mutt on Mutt and Callahan. Don't forget, we've got Tom Brady and Boomer Esiason tomorrow morning. NFL Sunday, though. That is next. Sports Radio WEEI.